This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recorded by Linda Yang. Byways Around San Francisco Bay by W.E. Hutchinson. Section 9. On the Beach. We stand in awe at the grandeur of the mountains, thrusting their snow-capped summits into the clouds, and it is indeed a glorious sight. But the ocean, with its ceaseless motion, its wonderful rising and falling of the tides, and its constant and mysterious moaning, is not to be outdone in sublimity, and offers a keen delight to the lover of nature. Its sands and waters are ever-changing. Its rugged coast, with rocks scattered in wild profusion, is one of the most interesting spots in all the world. A piece of wreckage is thrown upon the beach, and you wonder what dire disaster happened far out at sea, and if the rest of the ship went to the bottom with all on board. But take it home, let it dry in the sun, then place it on your open grit fire, and as you watch the iridescent blaze curl up the chimney, dream dreams and weave strange fancies in the light of your driftwood fire. A day at the seashore is one of pleasure, a delightful change from woods and uplands to rocks and rushing waters. Some prefer the smooth stretch of sandy beach, where one may lie at luxurious ease in the warm sand and listen to the waves lapping along shore, or discarding shoes and stockings, wade out until the white-capped waves, like policemen, drive you back from encroaching upon old Neptune's domain. But we prefer the rocky cliffs, combined with the sandy beach, and such a place is Land's End, near the Golden Gate in San Francisco. We started down the steep incline, strewn with jagged rocks, to follow the narrow path along the cliffs. But our outing was marred by meeting two men toiling up the path along the narrow way, carrying an unfortunate sightseer who had ventured too near the edge of the cliff and fallen into the ocean. Only the prompt action of a friend who scrambled down the rocks at the risk of his life saved him from a watery death. His resuscitation must have been painful, judging by his agonizing groans. But the ambulance officers had been summoned, and the unfortunate sufferer was cared for at the hospital. The incident served to make us more careful, and at the narrowest place in the path we used the utmost caution, for the rocks below rose up like dragon's teeth, ready to impale us if we should make a false step, and that wine-drawn face haunted us like a specter. The path along the ocean is a narrow and torturous one, running about halfway between the water and the top of the cliff. Great granite rocks rise up like giants to dispute our passage, but by numerous twistings the path skirts their base or wriggles snake-like over the top. Hundreds of feet below, the waves come rolling in from the ocean, dashing with a giant's fury against the rocks, and scattering themselves into white spray that is tossed high in the air like thousands of white fingers seeking to clutch the granite barrier, then reciting like a roaring lion. Baffled of its prey, it gathers new strength and flings itself again and again against the rocks, like a gladiator striving for the mastery. Here, in a massive pile of rocks, is a deep, dark cavern, evidently worn by the action of the waves that have pounded against it for centuries. Looking out upon the ocean, we see a wave mightier than all the others sweeping onward, as if challenging the rocks to mortal combat. its mighty curving crest white and seething with foam, hissing like a serpent. On it comes, sweeping over half-submerged rocks, growling in its fury, sublime in its towering majesty, awful in its giant strength. Nearing the rocks, it seems to hang suspended for a moment, then hurl itself, as from a catapult, against the barrier with a sound like thunder, filling the cavern to its utmost, causing the ground to fairly tremble with the impact, and sending the white spray high up the face of the cliff to be scattered like chaff before the breeze, and the old rock that had stood the storm of ages looks down at its beaten and broken enemy, swirling, seething, and snarling at its feet, and fairly laughs at its puny efforts. Here we venture to a place that seems accessible in order to procure a photograph. It is a foolhardy undertaking, and we knew it. But fortune favored us, and a much-desired picture was secured. But thus will men gamble with death to gratify a whim, for a false step or sudden vertigo would have sent us crashing onto the jagged rocks below. Overhead, the seagulls beat the air on tireless wings or skim close to the water, intent upon their ceaseless search for food. Far out, the lighthouse stands anchored to the rocks, the waves dashing against it, as if to tear it from its firm foundation. But it defies them all, and sends the cheery beacon light over the waters to guide the stately ships between the portals of the Golden Gate. Directly opposite, the white buildings of Point Bonita stand out against the green of the hills, strongly fortified and ready at all times to defend the entrance of San Francisco Bay against warlike intruders. Two hardy fishermen have ventured out at low tide to a large rock and are casting their lines into the boiling waters for rock cod or porgies, while the Italian fishing boats with their queer striped sails form a striking contrast to the massive steamboats with smoke trailing from their twin funnels that are outward bound for China or Japan. Farther on, where the rocks descend to the sea level, we roam the beach and gather seashells, starfish, and sea urchins. And by a shallow pool, we stop to watch the scarlet fringes of the sea anemones waving back and forth with the action of the tide. Barnacles cover the top of every rock that the tide reaches, and the long, blackish, snake-like seaweed is strewn along the beach. We watch the tide come creeping in, each succeeding wave running a little farther up the beach and driving us back with relentless energy from its rightful possessions. The sun sinks down in golden splendor behind the ocean's rim, leaving a track of molten gold that tips as with a halo of the edges of the dancing waves. We turn our faces homeward with a last lingering look at the majestic expanse of blue rolling waters, and ever in our ears sounds the ceaseless moaning of the ocean. End of section 9, On the Beach.